And our scripture text this morning is printed in your bulletin. You may also follow along in your Bible. Taken from the Gospel of John. John chapter 10 and verse 28. We have here the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Now this text is taken from the 10th chapter of John, in which Jesus speaks of himself as the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. In another place, he's also called the Great Shepherd. The backdrop to the 10th chapter of John in our scripture text this morning is taken from the Old Testament, back in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 34, 11 and following, we read, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment." Now, in appropriating the passage in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel to himself, Jesus Christ was making a clear claim to be God. Many of these things are said of the Messiah, that of binding up the broken and strengthening the sick. That's an integral part of the mission of the Messiah in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. Jesus' claim of equality to God the Father also comes out in John chapter 10, verse 30. Two verses forward from our scripture text this morning, where Jesus Christ claims the divine essence for himself, saying, "I and the Father are one." His sheep, the sheep of Jesus Christ, are the Christians, those who have accepted his gracious offer of salvation by faith, through his grace, and have therefore attained to eternal life. There are two primary duties of the shepherd in the Old Testament times, New Testament times, and even to this day. First, to feed the sheep. The shepherd was responsible for feeding the sheep, nourishing the sheep. And our Heavenly Father does this by meeting every physical need that we have, but he also nourishes us through his word. The very words of God and the very words of Christ are food for our souls. The second primary function or duty of the shepherd is to protect the sheep. And Jesus Christ does just that. He protects us from the daily attacks of the adversaries, if we'll let him, so long as we stay within the realm of his care, so long as we don't wander too far out, we'll have perfect protection from our heavenly shepherd, Christ Jesus. The desire of Jesus Christ to protect the sheep is so strong that he even died for them. His desire to protect us from the certain death that would befall us was so strong that he died for you and for I. I want to bring out 3 points from our primary scripture text this morning. First, that Christ gives his sheep eternal life. He says, I give them eternal life. Secondly, that Jesus Christ guarantees that his sheep cannot lose the eternal life once he gives it to us. And third, Jesus Christ promises to hold his people in his loving hand, that no one will be snatched out of it. First, that Christ gives his sheep eternal life. Eternal life is the gift of God to those who believe in faith. The fact that Jesus Christ has the authority to say, I give them eternal life, proves that he is God in the flesh. Else we must call him a liar. He was either telling the truth on that point, or he was not. What say you? If he was telling the truth, and Jesus Christ truly has the authority to give eternal life, then he is indeed God. We all deserve eternal death, for it is written in another place, the wages of sin is death. Even the law could only bring death. No one could keep it perfectly. There was no salvation given in the law where anybody could be saved by keeping the 613 commandments, 248 positive and 365 negative, given by the agency of angels through Moses. Nobody could keep that law. Salvation has always been through faith, as it is written. Abraham was counted righteous by his faith, apart from the law. Abraham was counted righteous even before there was a law given. And again, through the prophet Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. And the same is reiterated by the apostle Paul in the first chapter of Romans, quoting from the Old Testament prophet, the just shall live by faith. And so salvation is always through faith. And that salvation leading unto eternal life is the gift of God. As we have here in our scripture, I give them, saith Jesus Christ, eternal life. How can the profane sinner look upon the perfect God? Well, the answer is, he or she can't. God had to do something. And the Apostle Paul tells us how. In the 5th chapter of Romans, beginning in verse 15, these scriptures are also printed in your bulletin as well. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, we read the Apostle Paul's theological commentary on the free gift of salvation that Jesus Christ gives. Romans 5:15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, speaking of Adam, the consequence of the fall of Adam in the garden, and Adam is held responsible for that, not Eve, as the federal head of the human race. The consequence of the fall is death. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Has that gift abounded to you? Have you experienced the grace of God and what that free gift is in your life? And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. That is the free gift of Jesus Christ going to Calvary to provide the remedy for the many sins that you and I commit. And the result of what He did for us can result in justification. Justification is simply another word for salvation. It is the first step. And this is why Paul could say in another place, in his epistle to the Romans, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Instead, there is justification. Justification or salvation is the opposite of condemnation. Without Christ, you stand condemned. You have no righteousness in yourself. None of us have any righteousness, anything in us that God could even look upon in His holiness. Instead, we need His righteousness. This is why we need to be clothed by Christ's righteousness. This is why He had to go through all of that. This is why He had to suffer. This is why He had to be beaten and spat upon and led to die on a tree. And why He had to suffer for us. And why He had to experience that separation from His Father. What agony for the very Son of God, who had perfect fellowship from eternity past with His Father. One in essence and yet three. What agony to be separated from God the Father, and that He did such a thing for you and for me. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. The gift of eternal life is greater than the debt that we owe to God, because the one who gives eternal life has overcome the debt. He's overcome the penalty by satisfying God's righteous requirement. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And without the shedding of perfect blood, that blood that could only be drawn from the God-man, Jesus Christ, without the shedding of the perfect blood, there could be no propitiation for sins, no satisfaction for our sin. Jesus Christ had to do what we could never do. And this is why eternal life comes through Christ. This is why, another reason why Jesus Christ can say, I give them, speaking of His sheep, eternal life. It can come no other way, because He's the only one who ever walked the earth who was perfect. And the only one who ever rose bodily from the dead, the first fruits from the dead, the only one in whom is the power of the resurrection of the dead in Himself. All other religious leaders and all these others that men and women mistakenly trust upon are still in the grave. But the one whom we worship, Jesus Christ is God Himself, and He is resurrected, and He is in heaven, and He is seated at the right hand of power today. Thanks be to God. In another place in the 10th chapter of John, he calls himself the door, or the gate, the entranceway. There's no other name by which men might be saved unto heaven, save that of Jesus Christ. So the Bible does not teach universalism, that is, that all will be saved. Instead, the clear teaching of the Scriptures is that those and only those who choose to follow Christ Jesus will be saved. Only those who are His sheep will attain to eternal life. Those who do not accept God's gracious offer of salvation through Jesus Christ, written in the pages of this book, I pray, God, that if you don't heed me and my words this morning, that you'll heed the words of this book, maybe in this place or in some other scripture. Investigate these claims for yourself. See whether or not they be true. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience His goodness. What's written in this book is truth. And we're also called not to go beyond that which is written, as it also says within these pages. Now those who do not accept Christ's gracious offer of salvation, to such a one, I say that you'll be left to yourself. If you do not want Christ, you will have your way. You want your life without Christ, you will have your way, and there you will stay. But you will not find peace in this life, and there will be no rest for you in eternity. Don't take these things lightly, friend. The matters of spiritual life or death are much greater even than the matters of life and death on this earth. Second point this morning is that Christ guarantees that His sheep cannot lose eternal life. And you see it in our scripture text. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, Christian, you believe this. You cannot lose your salvation if God has chosen you. If God has appointed you before the foundations of the earth, as it is written, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I give you eternal life, saith the Lord. And you responded at a point in time to the gospel invitation, you can't lose that. The Bible teaches in several places, very plainly, in at least four places, that the Holy Spirit has sealed you the moment that you committed your life to Jesus Christ and guaranteed your eternal inheritance. The Bible does not teach that there are two rebirths, but instead that there is one, that at the moment of salvation, that the Holy Spirit, that God the Father and God the Son as well, come and indwell the believer and seal the salvation of that believer at a moment in time. There's nothing else that needs to happen. When you believe in Christ upon faith, you don't have to wait for some miraculous outburst to gain some particular gift or any of these things. When you believe in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died not just for all, but for you, then a place in heaven has been secured for you. And I can say this on the authority of the words of Christ Jesus as recorded in the Scriptures. No need to second guess your salvation. God hasn't put us in that position, nor would He. This is known as the doctrine of the perseverance or the preservation of the saints, and it is a biblical doctrine. God will keep you until the end. What then of such verses as Matthew 10:22, where we read, "He that endures to the end shall be saved." Now, doesn't that sound like you have to kind of keep working and keep up with life and keep going? Otherwise, you might not endure and you might lose the salvation that you had. Doesn't it kind of sound like that when you first read it? And a lot of Christians get tripped up, and they start to question their faith when they read verses like this. And I want to put this verse and another one that are commonly misunderstood in their proper context. What that verse, "He that endures to the end shall be saved," is saying is simply this: that endurance is evidence of salvation. We're all going to slip up along the way. But the fact that that relationship with Jesus Christ and with God is maintained, and the fact that we're continually convicted unto righteousness and of sin by the Holy Spirit, the fact that that's happening, the fact that we might be worried that we might lose our salvation, is proof in and of itself that we haven't lost it. The fact that the Holy Spirit is working in us in that way proves our salvation. We should never question that we might lose it. The second scripture is in Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Where we read that it is impossible, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. And the idea here is that the writer of Hebrews is speaking to the Jews who were being persecuted at the time, and they were tempted to go back into Judaism. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that it is no more possible it is no more possible to regain your salvation than it is to lose it in the first place. In other words, if they fall away, and they won't, if you're a Christian, and you won't, is the idea here. And this comes out clearly in the original Greek. If they fall away, and they won't. Somebody who is truly a blood-bought believer in Christ won't be able to fall away. Why? Because they're kept by the power of God unto salvation. Another blessed promise from the Scripture. So the idea here is that somebody can no more lose their salvation than Jesus Christ needs to come down and be crucified afresh. Right? Isn't that what that says? Any more than Jesus Christ can come down and be crucified again, for His sacrifice was once and for all. Once for all means once for all. Doesn't need to be repeated. It's the same thing with salvation. His sacrifice doesn't need to be repeated. His work on your behalf for salvation doesn't need to be repeated in a personal sense either. Third point this morning. Christ promises to hold His people in His loving hand. No one can snatch you from His hand. On earth, however powerful, no one, however powerful, can snatch you from His hand. You ever wonder what you would do if somebody held a gun to your head and asked you to deny your Lord? You ever think about that? I know it's a common thought that kind of goes through my mind, and I guess through the mind of many Christians, and it's a reality for many Christians, by the way, throughout the world. Well, here's the test. Do you live for Him now? Do you live for Jesus Christ now? If you live for Jesus Christ now, and He means that much to you now, while you're living, when nobody's holding a gun to your head, if you're living for Him, you'll probably pass the test. If you're not, you probably won't. Answer that question for yourself and do some soul searching and examine yourself whether you be in the faith in the first place, and if so, to what depth your commitment is in being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He's called you to do. In a spiritual context, not even the devil from hell can snatch you from the hand of your Lord. No one, neither on earth nor in the spiritual realm, can snatch you from my hand. Blessed promise of the Savior. In the sovereignty of God, it may be that your entire life may be unsettled in the manner of Job and David. Might be a rough ride, but you're a glance away from your Savior through it all. Simply look up. Don't dwell upon the evil that's befallen you. I know many times it's impossible to put these things completely out of your mind. Live in reality. But always glance, keep both eyes fixed upon the Savior as you go through whatever it is you're going through. What was spoken of to the tribe of Asher in the days of old may be said with regard to you, child of God. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The one to whom you can run to is your refuge. And that refuge is Jesus Christ. The world will drop you over and over, but Jesus Christ, faithful and true, the same yesterday, today, and forever, will never drop you. If you believe these things, trust in Him, and He will be faithful to expand your faith.